You want the truth? You can handle the truth. The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio, AM 740. To get to the truth, call Richard now at 416-360-0740 or toll free at 1-866-740-4740.
Idea of how much of the plane actually impacted the building.
You know, it might have appeared that way, but from my close-up inspection, there's no evidence of a plane having crashed anywhere near the Pentagon. The only site is the actual side of the building that's crashed in, and as I said, the only pieces left that you can see are small enough that you could pick up in your hand. There are no large tail sections, wing sections, a fuselage, nothing like that anywhere around, which would indicate that the entire plane crashed into the side of the Pentagon and then caused the side to collapse. Now, even though if you look at the pictures of the Pentagon, you see that the floors have all collapsed. That didn't happen immediately. It wasn't until almost about 45 minutes later that the structure was weakened enough that all of the floors collapsed.
You're listening to The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio, AM 740.
Just another one of those nagging questions. Of all the security cameras that would be pointed at the Pentagon, why can't we get one decent bit of footage about what actually hit that building? Now, you just heard Jamie McIntyre, who was on the scene at the Pentagon. And that was his CNN report, and many have latched onto that report saying, aha, you see, Jamie McIntyre is saying, in effect, no plane hit the Pentagon. That's not really what he was saying. Upon further examination, the question put to him was something like, is there evidence that, or can you tell how much of the plane actually hit the building? And what he responded was, no, there's no evidence that a plane hit anywhere close to the building before slamming into the building. He's basically saying it was a direct hit. So I don't think that the Jamie McIntyre report is a smoking gun, although it has sort of been held up as one. I think it's important in the interests of being objective to point these things out, that some of these nagging questions have in fact been addressed and quite sufficiently for my satisfaction, maybe not for yours. But there still are plenty of loose threads to go around. I would be very interested in speaking with someone like Norman Mineta, the transportation secretary at the time, who was with Dick Cheney in the underground bunker, which is known as the Presidential Emergency Operations Center. And Cheney had this rather interesting discussion with a young man, according to Mineta, who kept coming in and saying to the vice president, the plane is 50 miles out, the plane is 30 miles out, and when it got down to the plane is 10 miles out, the young man also said to the vice president, do the orders still stand? And the vice president turned and whipped his neck around and said, of course the orders still stand. Have you heard anything to the contrary? Now, Mineta went on to explain that he didn't know it at the time. He had surmised the standing order the young man asked about must have been to shoot down a plane, a shoot-down order. Apparently, Cheney wasn't willing to give that shoot-down order. And why not? Did he want something to happen? Norman Mineta's testimony was essentially expunged from the 9/11 Commission report. I'd like to know more. I think that's a fair question. What was the standing order? What was Dick Cheney doing there so early in the morning? It seemed like he was orchestrating something. All right, let's say hello to Steve. Steve, welcome to The Conspiracy Show on AM 740.
Good evening, Richard. How are you tonight?
Well.
Fine. I was wondering if you're familiar with Road to Tyranny, 9/11. It's by Alex. It's with Alex Jones on the Genesis Radio Network, and it's called 9/11 Road to Tyranny, and it's a he's got a few videos out about actual pictures and documentations and things and what's been discussed here tonight, and I'd like it if Alex Jones could be on your program. And also, when he had this these videos out, they were shown at the theaters in Texas, where the program originates from, and it's on shortwave.
Well, I've had Alex on my program a number of times, and I consider him to be a friend.
Yeah.
And I presented some of his films at the Review Cinema here in town, and happy to do so. I'd love to have Alex on again. And I mean, it's not going to be a debate. I think we're basically on the same page. I have a different approach, as I've said, and I want the debate. I want to turn down the burner because it's just getting a little too nasty, and I'm concerned that the 9/11 truthers, many of whom are good people, they're dedicating their lives to uncovering the truth, which is always a noble cause. I'm just concerned that they're going to lose the room because this is becoming such a fractious, divisive, toxic debate. That could be that's even splitting up families. I mean, I know people who will not discuss it with members of their family. So we need to turn down the rhetoric, and we need to have some mutual respect. And I have to be honest, Alex isn't known for turning down the rhetoric. I mean, he's a wonderful broadcaster. He's a researcher, but I think he's an example of someone who he's so passionate about it. That he unfortunately is turning a lot of people off who might be willing to listen under the right circumstances. Do you know what I mean, Steve? And I don't mean that to be I'm not slagging Alex Jones. I'm just saying I think we all need to step back, cool down, and stop name calling. Oh,
right,
it was Charlie
at all 9 yards. You know, different angles of the situation, and you know, until we get all the facts in. You're absolutely right.
Sure. All right, where are you calling from, Steve?
I'm calling from Columbus, Ohio, and I do listen to the station here, 740.
Wonderful. It's always nice to hear from different parts of the continent and who's listening. Steve, I appreciate the call. I hope you'll call again.
Thank you very much. And Richard, you have a good evening. And thank you for your time.
All right. Listen, when we come back, Dr. Judy Wood, her specialty is in mechanical engineering, but she knows she's a very learned woman. What else can I say? You'll want to listen to what she has to say. I hope you'll listen closely, reserve your judgment, and it may cause you to rethink everything you think you know about what brought down the World Trade Center towers. Dr. Judy Wood and a directed energy weapon, The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett.
This is no place for the naive or the faint-hearted. The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio, AM 740. From Zoomer Radio, AM 740.
We continue in the vein of 9/11 and the nagging questions, and those of you listening, you can continue to call with your nagging questions. We're now heading into a discussion relating to 9/11, and that is a rather large nagging question. What brought down the World Trade Center Tower buildings? Not just the North and South Tower in Building 7, but there were, depending on who you talk to, 8, possibly 9 buildings within the World Trade Center complex that were brought down in rather unusual circumstances. Some, of course, appear to have essentially fallen into their own footprint. And then we hear discussions about things, falling at free fall speed and defying the laws of physics and well over my head, considering, you know, I got to, I have about a grade 10 science, high school science education. So I really need things sort of spelled out and I need to be banged over the head before I get it. But eventually I come around. Listen, Dr. Judy Wood is with us. She's a former professor of mechanical engineering with research interests in experimental stress analysis, structural mechanics, optical methods, deformation analysis, and the materials characterization of biomaterials and composite materials. Obviously, a learned woman. She's a member of the Society for Experimental Mechanics, and she basically decided that on the day of 9/11, things weren't what they appeared to be. And she started digging, and she came up with a rather interesting theory. I think it deserves to be listened to, and I hope you'll give her some time. For those of you who are married to controlled demolition, I think you need to listen again to this woman. Having said that, Dr. Judy Wood, welcome to the Conspiracy Show.
Well, hello. Thank you.
It's good to have you to back on. You and I have talked a number of times. And I know that my producer, Dan, called you earlier. We had some guests scheduled for the first hour, and for whatever reason, they weren't available out of New York City, and he called you initially to see if you could switch times. I'm guessing your initial thoughts were they're calling to cancel, because this happens to you quite a bit, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
You're invited to be interviewed by McLean's Magazine, or you're invited to be on this show on CNN or what have you, or Coast to Coast even, and all of a sudden, you get the call last minute. Sorry, Dr. Judy, we've had to bump you. What's going on? What's going on?
Folks see my information and think it's really significant stuff, and they then, you know, schedule me and tell other people about it, and then they run into somebody who has been, I think, brainwashed into, you know, don't listen to her, and really react in a very strong way, and the person doesn't know what to think, and it's last-minute decision, so they cancel. Rather than, you know, they don't have time to figure it out for themselves.
In other words, to paraphrase, the information that you have might be a little too close to the truth. It's making somebody higher up very nervous, and so they say, I don't know who booked this person, but I'm pulling the plug right now.
Right, right. And then people are also trained to react negatively. They don't know why. They do it out of routine, you know, join the crowd.
All right. A directed energy weapon. Explain what a directed energy weapon is.
It's not a kinetic energy device. It's not a bomb. It's not a physical object that goes flying through the air and hits something. It's energy that is directed and is used as a weapon.
What kind of energy? When I think of energy, I think of microwaves. I think of solar energy. What kind of energy are we talking about here, Judy?
Variety. There's a pretty wide electromagnetic spectrum, and as I started out joking, and then it turns out it was right. It says, well, there's a wide spectrum to pick from, so you can pick and choose or mix and match, however you please. And as it turns out, it is a case of mixing and matching. It's interference of different wavelengths of energy.
Are we talking about something I've heard from time to time on the program called scalar energy or scalar technology?
I don't know exactly how that is defined, and I tend not to go under any, you know, specific names with specific meanings, but it's related, yes, as far as I can tell.
And when I mentioned scalar technology, this is something apparently the great mind Nikola Tesla was experimenting with probably close to 100 years ago using these huge Tesla coils.
Yeah, the Tesla coil provides a field effect. And then you interfere a different kind of energy within that field, and it interferes with the field and creates another effect.
Okay, so this weapon, using some sort of electromagnetic field or different types of energy, this energy is directed at the World Trade Center buildings. The North and South Tower, or all 8 or 9 buildings in the complex? Do you have a handle on that? How many buildings were targeted?
I didn't see the crosshairs.
Okay, fair enough.
I don't know who was operating it or where it was aimed from, and you know where all the parts were and what the serial numbers are and so forth.
But I'm assuming that, and you'll get into this a little bit later in greater detail, but I'm guessing that this weapon has a signature so that when you look at a building, you can say, yeah, that's a directed energy weapon. So if that's the case, how many of the buildings that were brought down in the World Trade Center complex had that signature?
Well, all of the ones that were brought down, or destroyed, they weren't really brought down. They went away.
They went away. That's very interesting. Why do you make that distinction?
Yeah, once upon a time, there's some buildings, and then they went away. because they didn't hit the ground. They didn't slam into the ground. That's another reason against conventional controlled demolition. How that works is you take the building, you slam it to the ground to break it into pieces.
Right, so you get that pancaking effect as well, right?
Right, right. And they break apart once they slam to the ground.
Okay.
The bombs are only used to slice them up, you know, slice the dices, but then the rest of it slams to the ground and it gets busted up. This didn't slam to the ground.
There weren't, there was a lot of debris, obviously, but not as much debris piled up as you would imagine when you've got 100 plus stories come tumbling down. You would think if there was some pancaking or that there would be a tremendous pile of rubble. But there wasn't. There was just a lot of what seemed to be pulverized dust. So that's what a directed energy weapon can do. It basically pulverizes the building before it hits the ground.
What I say, see, I didn't know anything about energy weapons before I started looking at the evidence. But as I say, you look at the evidence carefully enough and long enough, and it will speak to you and tell you exactly what happened to it. And that's what happened. The biggest aha moment I had was watching the tipping top of the South Tower. As it tips, you see this plume of dust squirting out of the hinge point. And it looks like the building is water turning to steam.
Hmm.
And when water turns into steam, it expands in volume by 1,600 times. 1,600 times. It needs to really expand, like every molecule needs to get away from its neighbor.
Just hold on to that aha moment, Dr. Judy Wood, and I'll get you to explain further. Directed energy weapon brought down the World Trade Center buildings. What say you? 416-360-0740. Is this fantasy? Is this woman onto something? You'll tell me. Don't go away.
When in doubt, blame the government. You're listening to The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio. AM 740.
Somewhere on a distant planet that supports life, and among the rubble of the Twin Towers, lies the truth. The truth they don't want you to know. Visit your non-fiction source for all suppressed and conspiratorial information. ConspiracyCulture.com.
It's pretty obvious that a judgment is coalescing around the president that it was Osama bin Laden.
I know we live in a country where we're often told that the first thing that comes to your mind, put it down, put the little mark in there. I feel slightly uncomfortable because I spent so many years wondering how the myth of Osama bin Laden got started. We have the Osama bin Laden who was the great war hero in Afghanistan. We have Osama bin Laden who was trained by CIA, funded and supported by CIA during 3 years of war. I was there at the same time bin Laden was there. He was not the great warrior that went and fought the Soviet Union to a standstill. CIA had nothing to do with him. I think that mythological Osama bin Laden, never mind that he's an absolutely evil man, but the mythological Osama bin Laden causes me trouble, and I think maybe there is another answer out there. I'm not certain that I know what it is.
Well, Neil Bearden, again, you're one of our most experienced people with long experience in Afghanistan. What does your gut tell you about who's responsible for these attacks this week?
My gut tells me we don't know the answer yet. My gut tells me that I'm not going to go with the first answer that comes to mind, but there's quite possibly something else out there. Experts will jump on you and say it's Osama bin Laden's M.O. He's the only one that is capable of this type of coordinated attack. My answer to them is he's the only one you know that's capable of this kind of attack. This was a tremendously sophisticated operation against the United States. More sophisticated than anybody would ever have ascribed to Osama bin Laden. I think we need to do a little homework. We need to appoint a team B that looks for somebody else.
Big Brother is listening, and so are you, to The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio, AM 740. To speak with Richard, call 416-360-0740. Or toll-free in Ontario at 1-866-740-4740.
That was Milton Bearden, retired Central Intelligence Agency officer, being interviewed by Dan Rather shortly after 9/11. 30 years with the CIA, station chief in Pakistan, Nigeria, Sudan, Germany, in Pakistan from 86 to 89, and he became the CIA's field officer in Afghanistan, intimately familiar with Osama bin Laden, and you heard him suggesting we really need to think about Plan B in terms of who we point the finger at. Osama bin Laden, not capable of this kind of operation, incredibly sophisticated, And he wasn't the guy that could pull this off. That's from a 30-year veteran in the CIA. So, that's another interesting question. There's another guy, maybe the next 9/11 commission, if the present occupant of the White House has the courage to launch another investigation. That's another guy they might want to talk to. I don't know. That's just me talking. Dr. Judy Wood is with us. You know what? If I was the chair of the 9/11 commission, I'd bring Dr. Judy Wood in, too. I'd want to listen to what this woman has to say. She doesn't believe it was controlled demolition that brought down the World Trade Center tower buildings. It was a directed energy weapon. Dr. Judy, let's talk about the evidence, the signature. What led you to believe that this was some sort of a directed energy weapon? You mentioned seeing the was it sort of the antenna atop the one of the towers that when it snapped off, it was like this plume of smoke was coming out?
Oh, this was the entire top third of Tower 2.
Okay.
It tipped to the east, and then it just sort of turned into powder. It never slammed to the ground.
So a large chunk came off, and in midair, it started to vaporize?
Oh, it didn't vaporize. It dustified. That's my new word for it, because it's a new phenomena.
Dustified.
So it needs a new word. It's a dustification. The building turned into dust in midair without hitting anything.
That's not physically possible, I'm guessing.
Obviously it is, because it happened.
Hmm.
Yeah, experimental evidence is the truth. So looking at it, it looked like every molecule, instead of being attracted to its neighbor, suddenly repelled it, like somebody flipped the sign of it.
All right. Again, why does this point to directed energy?
Energy fields can do things like this.
They can.
Everybody, pretty much everybody remembers as a child playing with a wire coil going around a nail.
Yes.
You plug it into a 9-volt battery, and the nail becomes a magnet.
Right.
Electric magnet.
Mm-hmm.
You can turn magnetic field into electricity or electricity into magnetism. The two fields interact, and they do weird things when you mix them together.
Just like that scene in the Ghostbusters where Bill Murray said to Chevy Chase, or not to Chevy Chase, to Dan Aykroyd, don't cross the beams. I guess somebody crossed the beams, but on purpose.
Right. Well, in some cases, not quite on purpose. It's the interaction between the two. Or more than two, it could be. But think of one as a catalyst for the other. So if you have one field, like provided by a Tesla coil or a Van de Graaff generator, some kind of a field, and then you put in the catalyst provides the direction where the interaction is going to occur.
So what's the catalyst?
A different kind of beam.
Okay. So we're talking multiple beams here. Now, this would have to be a very large nail and a very large piece of wire wrapped around that nail. I'm guessing it wasn't a nail and a piece of wire, something more sophisticated.
Right.
Any idea what this weapon would look like? I mean, would it be portable? Would you have to place it on the roof of another building? Could it be on a ship off of Manhattan Island?
Oh, I don't go into so much of where it's located and, you know, where it's plugged in and all that. A lot of folks have given me grief over not making calculations for how much energy is required. We don't need to. We have the proof of concept. You know, the buildings aren't there anymore, are they? So there was obviously enough energy.
Okay, but...
But you need to know the mechanism in order to be able to calculate the energy anyway.
All right. But we need more than, I would think, than just suggesting that a piece fell off the South Tower and sort of turned to dust before it hit the ground. In the absence of any meaningful crime scenes, since Giuliani saw fit to haul this stuff off to China and India...
Do you know that it went to China?
Do I know that it went to China?
Yeah. Did you see any receipts, or is that just hearsay?
You know what? To be honest, it's hearsay.
That's what I figured, because I've got pictures taken from Ground Zero before noon on 9/11, and the material's all gone. Did they pack it up before noon?
I don't know. It wasn't a U-Haul job, that's for sure.
But the ground's level.
Judy, talk to me some more then about the signature. One of the things that I've seen on your website, and I'll direct people to that now, and that's judywood.com.
Dr. Judy Wood.
My apologies, yes, drjudywood.com. And that is vehicles in and around, as far as away, I think, as the,
FDR Drive,
the expressway that goes around the island, cars on their roof, but in otherwise pristine condition. What is that all about?
There's cars that are right side up, upside down, toasted in funny ways, like my favorite one, and this is another aha moment, is this police car under FDR Drive over on the East River, at least a half mile away, that completely toasted on the back end, I mean on the front end, and then it abruptly stops at the end of the door, and it's pristine new wax job on the back end. And then on the side of it, it looks toasted. Toasted is just a kind of a general term I'm using for affected. We don't know what happened to it, but it's toast. It's history. You can't repair it. But it's kind of cooked looking. But there's a circular spot in the middle of it that looks pristine. And you went, how can that happen? With fire, there's, you know, hot, cold, and shades of gray in between. Because of heat conduction. You can't have, something totally burned up to a particular line, then 1 nanometer over, have it in pristine condition. It doesn't make sense for a conventional fire.
A conventional fire. Well, is there anything conventional about all that jet fuel burning at such a high temperature and igniting?
How is that over an FDR Drive?
Mm. Good question.
Up in the parking lot.
Good question. I mean, how many automobiles are we talking about? And where did you get these photos?
There's at least 1,400 automobiles that there was still something left to call it an automobile.
1,400 vehicles that were affected in this bizarre manner.
That were totaled due to, quote, car fires.
Right. And how many of them were exhibited this, what you would call a signature of a directed energy weapon?
There were, some you can say, oh, it looks like a normal car fire, but there's anomalies that do not occur with normal car fires. For example, absolutely no trace of a window or the window frame. It looks like it was sandblasted ready for a paint job, completely cleared. And with car fires, you have scraps of broken glass left around the windows.
All right. When we come back, we'll throw open the lines. I think people are starting to get the gist of where you're going with this. There's much more, much, much more, more to fill, more than could fill 3 or 4 programs. But we've got till the top of the hour. If you have initial comments, we'd love to hear them. Dr. Judy Wood, a directed energy weapon, something that perhaps came out of the Strategic Defense Initiative, responsible for the destruction of the World Trade Center towers. You tell me. Back with more of the Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett. Don't go away.
Where there's smoke, there's the Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio, AM 740. Fasten your seatbelt and put your tray in the upright position. You're about to leave everything you know behind on the Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio, AM 740.
I think we owe it to the memory of those 3,000 plus people that died in 9/11 to leave no stone unturned. I don't think the 9/11 Commission report did that. 60% of the commissioners basically have now gone public to say so. It was a complete whitewash. I don't think it's too much to ask for a new investigation. And this time, let's put all the cards on the table. Let's talk to everybody, including Dr. Judy Wood. Let me crib something here from her website, www.drjudywood.com. Doctor, that's drjudywood.com. We stand today at the dawn of an entirely new age. Man has in his hands a method of disrupting the molecular basis for matter and the ability to split the earth in half on a moment's notice. It gives the term scorched earth policy a new significance. The technology that was demonstrated on 9/11 can split the earth in half, or it can be used to allow all people to live happily ever after with free energy. However, he who controls the energy controls the people. Control of energy leads to destruction of the planet. Dr. Judy Wood, what is the relationship between this directed energy weapon and free energy?
Look at how much energy came out of what happened.
Can it be, you're saying that it can be harnessed, it could be...
It can be used for good.
Okay.
If, like some of this, when you see the steel falling, it actually, I believe, falls faster than free fall of gravity, because I think it's being projected downwards.
Being projected downwards, okay.
Right.
Yeah, that shouldn't happen.
Shooting out the back.
That shouldn't happen, okay. I'm looking at one of the photos, figure one on your website, and it says, my intellectual integrity prevents me from calling this a collapse. This is why I've chosen to stand up. My conscience leaves me no other choice. And we're seeing one of those classic aerial photos of huge plumes of smoke and dust coming out of one of the towers. And it seems to me on your website, you talk also about dust particles that are lighter than air. In fact, they just continue to float. And I'm wondering, we hear all of these reports of all of the volunteer rescue workers and the firemen and the police and others who were down on the scene at the time, now suffering and many dying of these horrible pulmonary obstruction type disorders and diseases, and whether that might be related to these particulates that you talk about. What do they actually? What do you mean by that? I mean, they're lighter than air. They're just. What does that mean?
They're finer. They're so fine that they waft up. First, the coarse particles land on the ground, and then they break down, continue to break down until they start wafting up, and you see this mist over the ground. And that's what it's from. But if you're inhaling this stuff, and it's breaking down finer and finer, and this is finer, you know, submicron size particles that they have measured, and that's of the stuff that didn't go way up, the stuff they actually captured. If someone is breathing this and it's still coming apart, what is that doing to their body? It goes right into the bloodstream. It's smaller than the size of a red blood cell.
So you think that these particulates are the culprit with all these illnesses and deaths?
I don't know if it's the culprit, but it sure would be a culprit.
I don't have
one choice in my book.
I don't have a number of those that are actually sick or have died since 9/11, but we could actually end up doubling or tripling the number of deaths after the fact. There's another thing that needs to be examined. Why are these people dying left, right, and center? Those people that were volunteers at Ground Zero. Do you have any idea who would possess such a weapon? For example, is there a patent for this type of technology? Do you know for a fact that it exists, or is this just speculation?
Well, there's been a proof of concept, and we're very fortunate to know of John Hutchison.
Yes, know John.
Because he can do this, you know, tabletop version of it on a very small scale, but he shows that the physics do indeed work. And the reason why we have access to him is because he doesn't work for a government agency. He hasn't signed contracts, secrecy agreements. So he is accessible. And there are very few who know of this technology who are in that position.
You say that you suspect that this came out of the SDI, Strategic Defense
Initiative.
Well,
not that it came out of it, but you can be sure that they studied it in there, and they studied other people's other countries' versions of it.
Is there a paper trail? Is there any written documentation that would suggest that that was the case? Someone, you know, some scientist talking about this technology or anything like that?
I have seen various scientists from different countries referring to this technology. And it's something that, again, doesn't hit the mainstream. It's kept quiet. But if it's been around 100 years, there are some people who, you know, sort of buck the system and go outside of the box and do study it. They just get silenced a lot.
Well, you know, when it comes to levels of technology and where we're at now and where we might be without our knowledge, I always hearken back to a comment by, I believe it was Ben Rich, who was the former head of Lockheed Martin Skunk Works. And he was quoted as saying, pretty much on his deathbed, that we are 50 years beyond most people's wildest imaginations in terms of the technology that's available. And he said we have, and he's talking now about the aerospace industry, we have things sitting out there in the desert, presumably under lock and key in some hangar. We have things out in the desert that Again, 50 years beyond your wildest dreams, and if you've seen it on Star Wars or on Star Trek, we've been there, done that, or decided it wasn't worth the effort. That tells me that, you know, if they were working on laser beams 60 years ago, first starting to play around with them, or 50 years ago, I can't even imagine where they're at with laser beam technology. Not where we think they're at, but where they're actually at. So
1945 was when they discovered microwaves, and mid-50s is when they first started using lasers. So there's probably been some advances since then.
All right. Do you want to take some calls?
Sure.
All right, Dr. Wood, gird yourself, I guess, because I'm just anticipating we're going to get... I don't need to warn you. You've been there, done that, and you've heard it all.
Yeah.
Let's see what the folks have to say, but I'm going to warn you. The callers, that is. One of the things that we do on this program is we engage in civil, respectful discourse. You can disagree with somebody as much as you want, but no name calling. And let's just, you know, keep it above board, shall we? Let's begin with Jay. Welcome to the Conspiracy Show, Jay.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hello, Dr. Wood. When you mentioned Nikola Tesla, were you talking about HARP?
Not necessarily. It's other types of energy or interactions.
Well, HARP has become operational since 2002.
Correct. That we're told. But this doesn't really have a lot to do with HARP. I don't know what HARP is. I just know what we're told it is.
If you go online, you can find out. Physicists around the world want it dismantled because they're afraid of it.
Right. But there's other types of technology that are not public that I am more concerned with. And Nikola Tesla exhibited some of these things. Look up the Colorado Springs power plant. I think he blew it up accidentally.
Tesla thinks he did. Is that right, Judy? You were saying Nikola Tesla may have blown up the Colorado Springs power plant?
Yeah, accidentally.
Ah, using this same type of technology.
Correct.
All right. Thank you for the call, Jay. Well, in terms of HARP, the highly activated auroral research project, I think, is the acronym. I'm terrible with acronyms, but it's something like that. This huge array of radio antennae up in the Copper Valley in Alaska, is supposed to be basically blasting the ionosphere with microwaves, and ostensibly it's supposed to facilitate greater communications for the military and allow them to communicate with submarines that don't surface, like nuclear submarines, etc. But obviously there are many who think that they're using it for weather manipulation, to change the jet stream, to cause earthquakes, etc., etc. Who really knows? Let me ask you about something else that's very interesting on your website, and that is the appearance of a hurricane that was approaching Manhattan Island on that very same day, September 11, 2001. How does the appearance of a hurricane, and I don't know what level we're talking about, but how does that have anything to do with the destruction of the World Trade Center towers?
Field effects.
Field effects, all right.
People who have arthritis often talk about feeling a storm approaching.
Yes.
And there's a different electrical energy at that time. Also, there is thunder and lightning ahead of the storm. It isn't right where the storm is, but ahead of it, you get thunder and lightning happening. We had thunder reported at Newark Airport, JFK Airport, and LaGuardia Airport on 9/11. So there's evidence that field effects reached there. The outer bands of the hurricane reached the end of Long Island and over Cape Cod. It was about 500 miles in diameter, a huge hurricane.
And what level?
It was up to a Category 3, but it stepped down to a 1 as it spread out. Like a figure skater, when they spread their arms out, they slow down.
That's interesting. We have a Level 3 hurricane offshore of New York, and a Level 3 slamming into New York would do an awful lot of damage yet. I don't recall hearing anything about that on the news that day.
For 4 days, it was marching in a beeline straight to New York City. There is a cold front, high-pressure zone from the Midwest coming east, and they assumed that would keep it from coming ashore, but they weren't sure when it would turn around. If you're not sure, don't you warn the people?
You would think there would have been an evacuation order given.
And not only that, if it stalled out for any moments longer than it did, you have a problem with storm surges. It's not so much the hurricane coming ashore, but the storm surges.
So let me see.
JFK is right there at sea level.
Let me see if I understand this. You're saying that this hurricane is sort of an ancillary or an ancillary effect of this. Somebody turned on this device, and one of the things that happens is it creates hurricanes as an unintended consequence.
Well, I don't know how it got created. That's a different set of questions. But what I do know is if you aren't 100% sure that that hurricane isn't going to be causing a problem, you're going to tell the people about it, just in case. So what this implies to me is whoever is in charge of the hurricane knew exactly how long it was going to be there.
Surely there must have been meteorologists at the hundreds of stations, television stations, New Jersey, New York, up and down the east, northeast coast, who saw this thing coming, were trying to bring somebody's attention to it, and were totally blown away by how, you know, this thing just suddenly stops in its tracks and retreats.
Oh, there's plenty of warnings that down in the Carolinas as the thing is approaching. It goes just past Bermuda, and they're worried about storm surges up and down the Virginia coast and New Jersey, and then suddenly all those reports stop, and you don't hear anything more about it until it's up in Nova Scotia.
All right, let me work in a quick call, and before we break away, let's say hello to Glenn. Welcome to the Conspiracy Show, Glenn.
Hi, Richard. How are you?
I'm well, Glenn.
Thanks for not giving up the fight and coming back on the air.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just couldn't believe listening to you on a laptop with a friend of mine, and you're saying that the towers were not demolished by controlled demolition?
Let me put it this way, Glenn. I'm no longer married to that scenario. I'm willing to listen. I think we need to start looking elsewhere, but that doesn't necessarily mean it wasn't an inside job, Glenn.
So what about Dr. Stephen Jones and Robert Gage?
I've had Richard Gage on the program, and I have to suggest to you that the gentleman that he debated on my program, Ron Craig, pretty much dismantled his argument. In fact, Richard Gage and Stephen Jones were unfortunately ambushed on a television show recently where they didn't see it coming. They weren't aware of what kind of evidence was going to be presented to them. And they were shown how thermite, you know, couldn't get the job done in terms of cutting through metal, et cetera, et cetera.
Really?
And Gage and Jones were sort of left with their jaw hanging wide open. Again, they were ambushed. That's not ethical journalism. Yeah. However, it doesn't seem to add up.
Okay. Richard Gage has come to Toronto. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, I just don't have the exact information when.
Well, I'll look into it. I'd love to have him on, you know,
yeah,
give him another hearing.
Yeah, if you could.
All right. Thank you for the call, Glenn. Dr. Wood, I got to step away here, but listen, stay with us, and we'll come back and take some more calls. DrJudyWood.com is the website. Check it out. It's too important to ignore. Is it possible the World Trade Center buildings were brought down by some sort of directed energy weapon? The technology exists. The question is, who has it? And do they intend to use it again?
In search of sunken cities and weird science, mythical beasts and modern-day bloodsuckers, The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett continues from Zoomer Radio. AM 740.
Well, Dan, not far from here, a passerby found the passport of one of the hijackers. Evidence this disaster scene is also a crime scene.
The world is being pulled over your eyes. This is The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio, AM 740. To reach Richard, call 416-360-0740 or toll free at 1-866-740-4740.
You know, we've all heard that that seemingly mythological story about the passport of not one, but later two hijackers found in pristine condition. And I tell you, I spent the better part of today looking for that clip because I needed to know for sure whether that was true, that that was actually reported, that that actually went out over the air. And there it was, CBS, Byron Pitts, Dan Rather threw to that report. And I kept listening to the clip, the rest of the report, and that was all there was. That was the only allusion to the passport. Then he went on to talk about, you know, the great work the volunteer rescuers were doing down at the at Ground Zero. He didn't attribute it. He didn't do anything except just throw that in there. Someone has found a passport. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? All right. Email here, and I have the greatest listeners, man. They know more than I do about this stuff. And someone earlier had mentioned when I suggested that the FBI didn't have enough evidence to go after bin Laden. He says, well, they had enough evidence to go after the 20th hijacker, and there was a trial, and he was found guilty. And this email says, no, there was no trial for the 20th hijacker. They made him confess under torture. The trial was a sentencing hearing, and it was presented to the public so they would remember something about a court case. Excellent point. That's right. That was Zacharias Moussaoui. There was no actual court case. He did confess, and admittedly, under some duress. All right, Dr. Judy Wood is with us, drjudywood.com. And let's go back to the phones and say hello to Michael. Welcome to The Conspiracy Show. Michael, hello. Let's lock him in there. Here you are, Michael. You're on.
Okay, hi. Yeah, I found it, find it interesting that, Richard, that you just mentioned that Dr. Jones and Richard Gage were kind of ambushed and their the thermite thing was kind of discredited.
Yes. That was my impression. Others who might know more would say, might look at that and say, yeah, you know what? No, they didn't convince me. I mean, I'm not an explosives expert. What can I say?
Okay. Dr. Wood, I really support your work tremendously. You know, I totally agree with what you've found. I'm just wondering if you can maybe give us a rundown as to whether or not you think there's a legitimate legitimate way in which thermite and directed energy weapon could have both been operative.
Good question. Good question.
Maybe a two-part system of some sort.
That's a great point, Michael. Dr. Judy Wood, is it possible we're looking at a combination of things here?
Well, it makes the job much more difficult. It's like coordinating bubblegum with directed energy weapons. If you replace
I understand your sarcasm. I really I know what you're saying.
You know how I'm use weird terms, you know, fuzzy blobs and so forth? I use them as placeholders until I understand the phenomenon. If you use bubblegum as the placeholder, put that in every place where you see thermite, and then read the document. It's that people are mesmerized by this fancy word, thermite.
Now it's nanothermite. Now it's nanothermite they're using.
And then there's also spray on this thermite and the super thermite, and it keeps, you know, changing names. But one thing that has not been shown is how thermite or thermate, whatever you want to call it, how it explains any of the evidence.
Right. I agree. I'm just trying to see how we can really get rid of this and put this thermite thing to bed, you know, and you know, so that
you show a proof of concept. John Hutchison has a proof of concept of this kind of physics that I'm talking about. He demonstrates how each one of these phenomena have been, you know, reproduced. That produces here, you know, the series I have with the Hutchison effect shows picture from Ground Zero, picture that John Hutchison has produced, picture back and forth. If you can produce that with thermite, you know, that would really help. One page of mine that's probably good, useful to go to is the Cliff Notes page, or drjudywood.com/WTC. And there's sort of a overview of all the different types of evidence. And if and there's a list of, right now, 41 items of evidence that need to be explained.
Thank you for the call, Michael. Dr. Wood, I've had the great pleasure of speaking with John Hutchison on this program a number of times. And when he talked about the Hutchison effect, one of the effects was levitation, which might explain how those vehicles got turned upside down on the FDR Expressway. The other thing was the metal turning into almost a
jelly.
Any evidence of that? I mean, did you see any of these, you know, those core beams everyone talks about, those 47 core beams that were constructed in 30-foot lengths and then sort of bolted together? Any evidence there of pictures or anything that suggests that they were turned to jelly?
Oh, yeah. There's one famous picture of this big horseshoe-shaped beam. And if a column buckles, it has a kink in it. It isn't this... It doesn't curl around more than 180 degrees. You know, it doesn't curl around like those ribbons people wear, you know, a bow. And there's smooth curves, and you cannot get that by a mechanically induced load or overload.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Kenny, welcome to the Conspiracy Show on AM 740.
I have a friend who's an explosives expert, and he said that if the fire had weakened the steel on those floors, then the top part of the building should have tipped over and fell down. And I also wonder about the reports of molten metal found weeks later in the wreckage.
Yeah, nothing burns for weeks like that, Dr. Wood. Would your theory explain these pools of molten lava?
I've yet to see pools of molten lava. Of all the stories we've heard, we've never seen a picture of it. And it's my thought that it's the cover story for why we have these pretzel-shaped beams. That, you know, right that afternoon of 9/11, there was a break in the one of the main water lines on West Street, and it turned into a lake. This flooded it out. There was no steam explosion.
This is before the buildings were the planes flew into the buildings.
This is after the buildings.
Oh, after the buildings.
Before Building 7 went poof.
So in other words, what, they didn't turn this directed energy weapon off? Or once you turn it on, the effects are long-lived?
But, well, it's that the buildings went away. And if you're saying that there's something that created molten metal from that, if it were hot, molten metal would, you know, be like, depending on what kind of metal it is, molten steel... or molten iron is like 2,700 degrees Fahrenheit. What would happen if you put 2,700 degrees Fahrenheit liquid metal in your swimming pool?
I think I know where you're going. All right.
Chernobyl was a steam explosion that destroyed
right.
Chernobyl.
Stay put. Got to step away. Back with more of The Conspiracy Show on AM 740.
Peering into the shadows where the truth often hides. You're listening to The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio, AM 740. The truth is not out there, it's right here. The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio, AM 740.
Time is tight. Next week on the program, the author of The Creature from Jekyll Island, if you want to know about the role of the Federal Reserve and central banking and how we got into this mess that we're in, you'll want to listen to that program, G. Edward Griffin, next week on The Conspiracy Show. Sheldon, you've been very patient. Thank you. You're on the line with Dr. Judy Wood. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm one of Dr. Wood's biggest supporters. I really appreciate everything she's doing to try to get the word out. I was wondering, Richard, have you personally considered confronting George Norrie or the producer at Coast to Coast to try to get Dr. Wood on that program?
Well, I did a guest host on the program, and I don't know what I could do. I mean, what are you suggesting? You want me to email the producer, Lisa Lyon, or George Norrie?
Yeah, you know, I've repeatedly emailed Lisa Lyon there, and she just never seems to get around to contacting Dr. Wood. And I think this is just crucial, earth-shattering information that needs to get on a program like that as well.
Well, I'll tell you what, Sheldon. She may not get on Coast to Coast, but I'd be happy to have Dr. Judy Wood back on this program. And let me tell you about the listening, the footprint that this radio station has. We are heard from Maine to Minnesota and from Thunder Bay, Ontario, all the way down to the Carolinas. So we're heard in New York, Washington, Chicago, Milwaukee. A lot of people listening tonight. So if they won't have her on Coast to Coast, I'll have Dr. Judy Wood back here on the program. Sheldon, thank you for your call. Dr. Judy Wood, I will have you back on. There's a lot of information here, I think, that needs to be said. Do you want to give us quickly one more piece of evidence that you think points to directed energy?
Well, a couple of things. The Earth's magnetic field abruptly shifted on 9/11, precisely when the North Tower got its hole in it. They say a plane impact. I just generically say got its hole. And precisely when the South Tower got its hole, and precisely when each tower went poof.
How would that be measured, and where would you get that information?
Well, I've got the data on my website, but also I'd gotten it from the Alaska magnetometer site from six different stations where it was recorded.
And was a significant change in that? Sorry, you cut out there, Dr. Judy.
Yeah, it should be explained. Somebody needs to explain why, five different moments in time where precisely this anomaly occurs. For 20 minutes before the North Tower got its hole, the signals started going down, and abruptly at, what was it, 8:46 and so many seconds, it abruptly starts back up. It's like a V-shaped right there.
All right. Who do you think, again, we're speculating, who do you think has this weapon? I mean, the fact that it's a directed energy weapon doesn't necessarily indicate that it was an inside job. This could have been a legitimate attack against the United States by some foreign power then.
Exactly.
You're not ruling that out.
Correct. And, yes, the NIST report was to cover it up, but they would want to cover it up regardless of who did it. If you think about it, if this is classified technology, they don't want to expose that to the public if they have it. If they don't have it, they surely don't want to expose that to the public.
Do you think it's going to be used again?
Oh, surely, unless we do something about it. We have a choice. We can use this for good, or we can put our heads in the sand and allow it to continue to be used for evil.
DrJudyWood.com, the website, drjudywood.com. Thank you for this, Judy, and we'll speak again soon, I hope.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Again, this program exists to provide a safe platform for rational, civil discourse on all the big questions. Again, next week, G. Edward Griffin, a giant in the field, really, author of The Creature from Jekyll Island, will talk about his organization, Freedom Force International, which is really about how we can all fight back and take back our personal freedoms, how we can take back our countries, the United States and Canada. Thank you to Dan Ellison, who is responsible for flying this spacecraft through the night. I hope you enjoyed the program. I hope you'll join me next week. In the meantime, don't be afraid. There's nothing concealed that won't be revealed, and nothing hidden that won't be made known. What I speak in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in a whisper, proclaim from the housetops. Move over, Aphrodite. I'm coming home. Good night.
Selecting AM 740. The best of the best is loaded up and ready to play. Welcome to the All Night Jukebox.